change machines, generally in Santa Cruz, as you may or may not know, were originally essentially crowd dispersal devices or street people dispersal devices. One of the first ones that was put in was in front of what was first, I guess, Borders, and then became Forever 21 on Pacific Avenue. And then machines were put in around the Metro, Pacific Avenue, near the Metro, on three of the corners of that street. And it's the reason it's a device to keep away people is the city also passed a law that you could not sit or peacefully panhandle, which means even quietly hold up a sign, within 50 feet of a change machine, or a bank for that matter, or a bank parking lot. I'm not quite sure about that last one.
Parking garage restroom, you're telling me, by the across from what was Planet Burrito. I think they're closed now. Next to the Chinese restaurant.
Exactly.
Yeah, and what are you telling me about this?
The urinal was down for almost a month. They got to fix it now.
They want you to piss in the flower pot. What do you think?
And now, at the present time, Depot Park is shut. They said shut for repair, but anytime, I work construction for almost 10 years, anytime we had a repair, was either done that day or the next day. It's only been shut
very
down.
Very slow in Santa
Cruz. Shut down for over a week, for almost a week, and now they have the water shut down too, by the soccer field. So
it's a cost saving measure, Bob.
Let me
try another one on you. I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. Got any money on you?
Trying to make people's lives as difficult as they possibly can. That's what I think it is.
They just don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Or a piss, for that matter. And we've been talking with
Bob Rees.
Thank you, Bob. Anything else?
That's what I know.
Thank you.
I went by there the other night, and I wanted to, like, you know, cook some dinner, you know, and no water, you know, it's kind of tough to do.
it's kind of bullshit, humiliating is what it is.
Yeah, I agree. You're treated like a subhuman, man.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bob. For it.
Like what we're talking about, like just basic human needs. This is stuff that, like, in the Geneva Convention, that you give to your enemy in a prisoner of war. And this, we can't even get that. And we're citizens in this country.
Yes. Thank you, Bob. It's true. But see, the enemies have got guns behind them. What we guess you need is an armed militia on your side or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Talking with...
This is Cooper.
Cooper, you say things are good. No police harassment, threats to move, harassment of anyone else at the post office encampment?
No, it's been good. We haven't had any harassment, and people have been able to rest, and we have been patrolling our own camp, and as far as garbage and everything, so it's, you know, we just do it one day at a time.
What about those huge amounts of homeless possessions, homeless garbage at the very end of your camp area?
I don't know if it's still there.
Really? You think it's been moved?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff down at that end.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I expect you to clean it up.
It's like the children of God. So you got the kids that are really organized, and then you got the kids that are not so organized, and then you got the kids who can't decide which toys they want to play with. So they, you know, and you got the kids fixing their bikes. They're the children of God. It's totally obvious. And, yeah.
Sounds good. Will you be going to this thing?
I don't know.
Do you have any problems with, you know, leaving your camp during the day? And by this thing, I meant the Union Resistance Forum that was held on Wednesday, yesterday actually, and at the Sub Rosa, and again was scantily attended, I think, because of other events that were happening and other
well, problems like change of location, change of time, and so forth. That will all be played. Again, I'm reiterating this. If you want to hear it, just go to the Huff website and go to Latest and Lost Shows, and you'll be able to hear the audio of that if that interests you. We had an interesting exchange with a number of people there, including Keith McHenry and Union of the Homeless attorney Anthony Prince, and a variety of people. Thomas, who's a sort of the man who does the shelter beat. Kevin, Gloria, myself, and others. Anyway, check it out if you're interested. Check out the next one coming up next Wednesday at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 4 o'clock.
Out of fear that stuff will be taken either by police or by people unknown.
No, we're really just on the faith plan. I mean, we're not attached to anything so material that it can't be replaced. So we kind of just let nature go how it's going to go, you know. We have to have faith like that we can, that nothing happens by mistake.
Any reports from the armory and how the people are doing up there?
Well, I talked to one guy today that said he couldn't wait to get out of there. It was something that we talked about, that was going on at night. And he says, I'm not allowed to do that because I have to stay at the armory and I have to be in at 6:30 on the bus, da-da-da. He can't be out. It was something that happened, something we were telling, an event that was going on at 9 o'clock at night, and he's unable to do that.
Wait a minute. Susie O'Hara and Martine Bernal have assured us at the city council, Mike, that they're making special provisions for folks in that situation.
Yeah. I don't know.
Susie O'Hara is the assistant city manager. That's kind of the homelessness czarina. And Martine Bernal, of course, is the big boss in the city from behind the scenes, who is the city manager and the highest paid, or one of the highest paid city officials.
I'm sure that they probably do. It would ring true to me that if somebody had a special event that they could make an exception. So I don't know. But I know that our crew got a disqualified letter from the library when they went to sign up for the armory. And I guess they've been kicked out some years ago or something, and so they had a lifetime that they could not go back.
Sort of a mercy killing.
Right,
or maybe a free pass for the streets.
It's probably a good thing. And, you know, and nothing happens by mistake. Nothing's all bad. There are a lot of people that it's helped, and a lot of people that wouldn't otherwise be out here and running around and spunky, and they're okay to be in that situation. But then there's a lot of them, and a lot of our crew that will not willingly be institutionalized.
Dig it.
Right.
Well, I think I'll leave it there unless there's something you want to add.
No. But I was thinking about who would be a spokesperson for me if I was...
Did you get your answering machine finally set up yet, madam?
No.
Get to it.
I will.
Okay. If you need some help, I think Kevin says he'll help you.
No, we've set him up before. We usually have it. And now...
Only 25.
I don't know if it's working at all.
Thanks. We've been talking with...
This is Cooper.
If you get carted away or decide you've got better things to do or pursue your career as an actress...
Oh, my very good confidant and friend, Lawrence Wilson. And he's a United States Marine.
Do you have a phone number for this guy?
Once and for all, yes.
Okay, give it to me.
John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave. John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave. John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave, but his soul goes marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. But his soul goes marching on. The stars above in heaven are looking kindly down. The stars above in heaven are looking kindly down. The stars above in heaven are looking kindly down on the grave of old John Brown. Glory, glory, hallelujah. hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His soul goes marching on. I've traveled around this country from shore to shining shore. It really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer a plowing sod and loam. I heard the auction hammer just a knocking down his home. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door. And the bolts are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for. I've seen the seamen standing idly by the shore, and I heard their bosses saying, got no work for you no more. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door. And the vaults are stuffed with silver that the seamen sweated for. I've seen the weary miner scrubbing coal dust from his back, and I've heard his children crying, got no coal to heat the shack. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the miner sweated for. Brothers working throughout this mighty land. I prayed we'd get together and together make a stand. Then we might own those banks of marble with a guard at every door. And we would share those vaults of silver that we have sweated for.
It was a couple of songs by Pete Seeger, a beginning of the John Brown's Body, and then, of course, The Banks Are Made of Marble. Jump back a little on Monday to the first day of the enlarged strike up on campus, and we'll be hearing a variety of voices, beginning with Tim Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice is running in the recall to, some would say, pick the bones of, he would say, in the event that Drew Glover is recalled, he would take over the seat if he wins against, I guess he's running against Don Lane. I think that's right, although both of them are pretty bad. But here, I caught him up on campus supporting the strike. Good for him. But he gave this rather interesting interview, which kind of really clearly demonstrates his response when faced with the hard questions about homelessness. An issue for me, because I'd like to know if Tim Fitzmaurice has changed his ways. It was due to his calling me out at city council for a quiet mock Nazi salute after his colleague Chris Crone, who was then mayor, had shut down oral communications early in violation of what the expectation of the group had been and what his promise had been, using threats of arrest. And It resulted in, I guess it was an 11-year, 12-year lawsuit around the issue that cost the city $200,000 and did result in kind of a finding by the courts that you can't simply say something because something offends the sensibilities of the city council or violates their rules because they made up this rule or that rule, that the person can be arrested for it and stopped from his right to attend a council meeting. But people often don't assert that because the council continues to act that way unless you challenge them. But if you do, for example, you turn your back on them and speak to the audience, they may tell you to turn around, but you can damn well ignore them and keep talking to the people in the audience, and as well as to the city council, with your back to them to show what you think of them, which is what I've done on occasion and will no doubt do again. Anyway, here's Tim Fitzmaurice up there. The question again for us is, if you want to decide what kind of a city council member he's likely to make, whether you want to vote for him or for this, I don't want to say evil twin, because in some ways they're just, they're both out of the same, cloth. But Don Lane, here's the interview with him. Before we get into that, just I want to say that I haven't yet done the research or had the time to really ask for his positive accomplishments. I try to do so in this interview, and I don't think I get anywhere with him. He goes into his, we talk about his poetry, and we talk about the situation on campus and so forth. But anyway, here's, without further ado, or further do-do.
Talking up here on campus with Tim Fitzmaurice, who's running in the event that the recall succeeds for one of the seats on city council. And he's recalling how years ago he was, what's the proper term for your position you were in, Tim?
Grievance officer for the union.
For the union, which the union specifically?
UCAFT, Unit 18.
And I was asking you whether things have gotten worse, and your response was yes, because of court decisions that no longer require mandatory union dues.
And even minimal dues, yeah. I mean, so, yeah, so the unions, therefore, are weaker. People don't want to necessarily join the union, and that makes the unions weaker. So so organizing needs to step up, I suppose, and try to get more people organized. But this is good. A strike permits people who are going to be lecturers someday to understand that they are workers, and they're at the mercy of their contract. And I'm afraid the UCAFT contract is in severe danger.
It comes up.
Well, it's in process right now, and I don't know the exact negotiating term, but right now it's being negotiated. I don't know exactly what the terms are, but
during your tenure in office as a an activist in that respect, were there positive changes that resulted in better union benefits and so forth?
Well, during my tenure, I mean, when I started in the early 80s, that's when we actually formulated a contract and got the ability for people to become veterans and to not have to go through constant rehiring, which was happening before that contract was signed. Now, that's the contract that's in danger. In other words, you could become a veteran after 6 years of going through this, you know, spanking machine at the university. And then you could, after that, you didn't have to prove you were worthy. They had to prove you were unworthy, which puts the onus on the other side. That's what's in danger of being lost in the new contract, if there is a contract.
You're keeping pretty close tabs on these negotiations?
No, I'm not. I don't want to give that impression. I just read my emails and I'm following what people are talking about. Other people are, unfortunately, I wish I were more engaged in the negotiations, but I'm not. I'm a retired person, and I have other. I'm teaching in prison. I'm very, really busy, and so I haven't paid that close of attention. But I can see that something is happening that's going to have negative ramifications for the UC lecturers.
Now, one thing you said a few minutes ago was you recalled several poems you wrote, I guess, either while you were in office as a city councilman.
No, years before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote in the 90s. I wrote some in the 80s after the earthquake. Before I became a city council member in 98. So no, I had written them as a result of the earthquake. No, I was paying attention before I was a council member.
And for those who want to access those old poems, are they online anywhere?
Yeah, they're on my website, which is, let me see now. I'm putting them on right now. I didn't put that one on yet, but I will. It's Fitzmaurice for City Council 2020.com.
And the name of the poem?
Well, the name of the poem about the people that are missing is called... I wrote a bunch of poems in the guise of a poodle from Faust, and it's hard to explain.
Poodle from Faust.
Anyway, there's a black poodle in Faust, and so it's a very sophisticated thing. So the poem is called Poodle Goes Downtown to Pacific Avenue to See Who's Missing. And then it's sort of a catalog of people that have, most of whom have disappeared in the last 20 years.
Street people or?
Street people. I mean, a variety of different people.
And this really kind of ties in with the other question I asked you, whether you've had much contact with people since then or while you were on the council, or even in the 90s with people who are on the streets, since, as you recall, that's, you know, the horn I've been blowing a lot at City Council.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my contact is probably not as thorough as yours. I don't, or even near.
Could you maintain some?
Oh, yeah. I talk to people. I don't want to mention anybody's name or anything like that, but I actually, I have conversations with people about where they slept last night. It's usually my question. Where'd you sleep last night?
Will you be taking on some homeless people as your advisors?
Well, the whole community has to be my advisor. This is not a top-down thing. So, homeless people, I like the word houseless.
It fits.
I like the word houseless, more than homeless. I think we need to define what homelessness means. In a real world, the fact that people are homeless means that they have lost belonging. They've lost identity. They've lost a structural connection with the community. So we need a much deeper approach, much more than just finding tents to put people in or something like that. We actually need a much more comprehensive approach to programming where people are at when they're without job. I mean, and you know, 8.3% of the children that go to school in this county are homeless. 8.3% of the school-aged children in Santa Cruz County are homeless. I don't think people understand the diversity of people who are afflicted by this, and this is an affliction. Yeah, and that helps. That one statistic helps, but the fact is, I think the mothers in Oakland, that
Moms for Housing.
Yeah, that's a. I used that with a group of realtors talking about ethical housing the other day. I said, "This is what's in the future. If people don't understand, this is not a. You can't be passive about this. People are not going to be passive about being houseless. And a lot of people who are afflicted by economic circumstances, who lose jobs or lose partners or things like that, are not going to. They're not going to let their children sleep outside without pushing back. And so that's why we have to. I mean, if ethics means anything, it means having a moral center, but it also means understanding what reality is, and that's what people don't.
You speak of, you know, belonging in a community, which of course is quite true, but for homeless people, the most immediate issue is their belongings that are being taken by the police and confiscated, held, and destroyed.
That's what you think.
That's what I hear.
That's what you think, because that's, if we narrow it down to just, you need a place to put your belongings during the day, or you need, of course people need, they need food, they need places to sleep, and they need places to,
they need not have their property taken from them,
they need, you know, things like that, and they need their property to be secure.
That's my issue for you.
All right, fine, but the fact is, don't, you know, lose the forest for the trees or something like that. Understand, there's something else. There's a whole other,
right?
I think you're right.
There's a whole other aspect.
That's not the issue, though. The issue is, in the meantime.
No, it is the issue.
Well,
that's
for us,
problem. If you don't see that as the issue, then you're not going to turn people in your direction. See, the fact is, you just go around alienating people. The fact is, if they understand the full articulation of this problem, then we can start to talk about the moral center that's required in order to address the problem. But you don't do that. In a sense, you push people away by saying, oh, we just want, you know, this, or this is this minor thing, this a major thing in a person's life, of course. But what they really need is an identity in the community that's respected, and a home. The fact that this is the home for most of the people that we consider.
How soon do you think those people you're talking about are actually going to get homes that you are saying, and quite properly so, are required? My point is, in the interim, are you going to continue to empower the police to be driving them here and there and taking their property?
You're empowering the police.
Well, I mean, you are
the one empowering.
But if you're on the city council, you will have the choice.
You're stimulating this oppositional thinking. All the time.
I think the oppositional thinking was there before I arrived. It'll be there after I leave.
You've been here a long time.
I have. But so is the oppositional thinking, having to do with property owners on the west side and, you know, business owners downtown and real estate people from
That's
out of town.
Much too glib.
Well, I think it's true.
You're a glib thinker. You're much smarter than that. You understand this is...
Well, educate me, you know.
No, I'm not going to educate you.
Educate our listeners.
That's one of your favorite reports.
Educate our listeners.
I got to go.
Yeah, that's one of your favorites.
All right, it is.
But thank
it
you.
Is.
Thank you, Tim.
I'm doing my best.
Hey, man. Good luck.
I guess I was a lot harsher on Tim in the introduction to this little bit of dialogue here in the, as I put it out here for the show, than I was when we actually met in the crowd of people up at UCSC. But he escapes when you attempt to ask him the hard questions about what he's actually going to do with respect to real police policies and real shelter policies in the moment, while he's talking about people finding a place for the homeless in a belonging way in the community, which is, you know, certainly true. But if you're a part of the repression mechanism, which he was, he created the laws that he refused to end the sleeping ban and continued it in spite of the fact that he was a part of the majority that was elected to end it. That was really much more explicit, even more so. He made statements about that Cummings never made, for example. I criticized Cummings for his abusive conduct over the last year regarding homeless people. Fitzmaurice helped to create laws like the move-along law, which requires you to move along every hour. If you're on Pacific Avenue and you're sitting peacefully asking for change or just holding a sign, or at a political table, for that matter. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff which he did, and he's... I think he has to answer for that, in the sense that, not that he can't change his mind, but the question is, has he changed his mind? If he hasn't, then you're voting for that stuff all over again, and that's not a good thing. Or from the first day of the strike.
Again, we're talking with...
Jesse. I'm a grad student here at UCSC.
And you were saying that the administration is doing some bragging here?
Well, just the university wants to, this place wants to be a world-class university, but they don't want to pay to have all the majors. They don't want to pay to take care of the people here. So the university puts a lot of rent pressure on the city of Santa Cruz, and they're not doing enough to alleviate it, and that winds up being a problem for everybody, not just grad students, but other people who live in Santa Cruz as well.
Now, how would you contrast this with another university in this country or another that does the things you think the university ought to do?
Well, so, for example, UC Riverside, which is, you know, a sister school, they received a stipend to offset their the cost of housing in Riverside, and we're under tremendous rent burden here. So part of why my shirt says spread the strike is because UC Berkeley, UCLA, a bunch of other schools, they bring in tens of thousands of people to an area, and then they do not provide housing, and so then the whole community has to absorb those people.
But not in Riverside.
No, in Riverside they're doing it, but they're providing an offset to the students.
Sufficiently?
Sufficiently to where rent, you're supposed to pay 30% of your income in rent to be out of rent burden, and so they're doing that, which helps the grad students but doesn't help the surrounding community. The best outcome I could think of from this whole thing is that the University of California uses its tremendous might to go into the state legislature and fight against the land developers and the people who own all these houses who are driving up prices. Because we're too small to fight them, but our power plus the University of California, I think that we could get some rent control measures finally passed that would address statewide the exploitative rent practices.
Any ideas of the number of absentee or multi-unit homeowners here? Home is, of course, real estate owners, really, is what we're talking about in Santa Cruz.
No, I don't know personally. I'm a geneticist. I don't know about those things.
You look into the deeper cause. And we've been talking with?
Jesse.
People can get more information by going to?
Hashtag Cola for All. You can find us on social media, or you can say pay us more UCSC.
Thanks.
See ya.
Brianna Bird, first year feminist studies PhD student. I'm in the humanities division, and I've been one of the organizers for some of the direct actions that have been happening on campus to boost morale with the graduate students. And so I'm really excited to see them striking together and here so early. And it's really exciting, and I really think that like we're going to get somewhere.
Now, do you think this is a, how does this compare the numbers to, let's say, previous gatherings here for this purpose?
I think it's on par. I mean, when K7 was out here, you know, it only took, you know, 20 of them being out here for 10 days to get the job done. But considering this is already about, you know, 100, 120 people, I think, you know, this is going to, it's only going to grow throughout the day. I think the numbers will look really good, you know?
I think 150, even, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Any specifics about how the administration is responding?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not responding.
Absolutely. The lack of response, the lack of willing to engage has been very frustrating. They've been threatening students with disciplinary warnings when they could be threatening professors because they have the real final say with grades, for example. So, you know, the graduate students, TAs in particular, are being targeted, you know, and we're just hoping that this is a demonstration that they will see that you're not going to get away with it like that.
Has this had any impact on students in terms of maybe people withdrawing from the strike or alternately people joining the strike?
I think it's been both. I think some people saw the actions leading in the quarter, in the last quarter, and, you know, withheld grades, and some didn't withhold grades, but they're striking this quarter. So, you know, the multiplicity of tactics allows for people to participate in different ways. So some students felt uncomfortable withholding grades, but some aren't afraid to stand at the picket for a couple of days. So,
anything else you want to pass on?
I think also one of the things that we try to really stress is that the exploitation of like graduate students reflects the exploitation of the land and extraction practices from the native communities that still like live here. And so when we think about, you know, the potential of what this could mean, it also might mean more ethical relations for the rest of the university.
And we've been talking with?
Oh, Brianna Bird, first year feminist studies.
And so there are ways to reduce that risk. And while it is illegal to have arrested you just for documenting, sometimes it does happen. So think about your positionality and whether that's a risk that you can take today. And that's why also keeping a safe distance where nobody can you know, grab something you're holding, such as your camera, even though.
And this is an organizer advising people what to do as the police begin to slowly mass across the street.
So that is illegal. Police do that sometimes and then later have it dismissed, you know. But they'll do it in the moment and take away the evidence, right?
Hey,
so you want to keep a safe distance, and that's why it looks like you're kind of removing yourself from the action and being kind of keeping yourself safe. But remember, you're looking for things that will support the demonstrators. I have a handout. I don't have enough for everybody, so anyone who's actually really interested in playing this role, it names the things that you can look for and document using your camera or even kind of just paper and pen today. And again, it works best when people know their role and are kind of doing that role in shifts so that there's no question about who's collecting documentation during a given moment. Does anybody have any questions that I can address? If something were to happen today and somebody were to be arrested, this is information that would be wanting to be utilized by, say, a lawyer defending that person. So if you don't know how to get that information to a lawyer, I will give you the number for YAR, your Allied Rapid Response, which can support anything that happens today. And if you need extra support at the picket line, in the case of escalation, you can also call that number. So I'll come around and show that number to you. We do that for general, responding to general oppressive forces in the community. So if you also see what you think is maybe someone from ICE in the community, you can also call that number, things like that. Or YAR, and it's 831-239-4289. why is that the response? Why ARR?
Speaking at from this large circle of about 30, 25 students or supporters, most of them look like they're under 30, not all of them, is photoing or taking a copy of Can I get one of those? Thanks. Thanks, Yart. Giving out his legal observation, what to look for at a protest. Who is there, demonstrators, what police do, specific police actions. I'll be passing this on to a forum that we have on Wednesday, which by the time this is played on the net will be over, but we'll be having a number of forums on this subject.
How do you like the whole area?
Warming, we're talking with Chris Crone. It's about the upcoming city council meeting on Tuesday the 12th, which already has passed by the time we play this, but still it's relevant. The Warming Center last time seemed to get a lot of contention, but it wasn't there a unanimous vote to bring it back and vote on it?
It was a unanimous vote. Basically, some people were voting to delay, but we wanted more information and how the money's used and how the money's going to be used. So
in spite of Cynthia Matthews' strong opposition.
Yeah, well, that'll happen again, and we'll see. We'll talk it out, you know. There's a new council, you know. There's a lot more civility on this council,
oh, yeah,
Robert.
Very, very civil, yeah.
Yes, you've seen the first two meetings.
Uh-huh. It was very a little too civil for my taste, actually.
Well, that's not surprising to me.
Well, if you don't identify the divisions in the community, people won't really know what's going on, because that's really what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the people who know, but the people who don't know...
I mean, you've raised that issue in your recall discussions, the one you had at Loudoun Nelson recently, which we played on Free Radio's net. You know, you pointed out that there's a real series of oppositional elements happening here. That isn't a matter of being civil. It's I don't think you made this argument, though. I would. It's a matter of being strong, clear, and insistent on these issues that so that people hear them. Otherwise, they'll think you're just being, you know, the argument of incivility, which has been used to harass you and Glover. Some people believe it. They believe it not because you know, not because you are outspoken, because you're not outspoken enough specifying the issues again and again. You held no press conferences, for example, when the item was being discussed. Because you had hoped that the whole thing would die away. As you can see, it sure as hell has not died away.
What would die away?
The issue of the recall would die away. The opposition to the recall was very muted, and the opposition to the censure motion, in the sense of ignoring the details of the censure motion and going to the real background of what it's all about. No. You disagree with me on that?
Clearly, the CPVAW, the Committee for the
Commission for the Prevention of Violence.
Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. Was being manipulated. So clearly that was happening during the whole censure process. And it's really a shame. It's really a shame that folks have let it go this far. And when I say folks, I mean people within the city who could have mediated, brought people to the table. No, they kind of added, some of them added fuel to the fire. So we find ourselves where we are today, which is, you know, the graduate students are on strike. You have people contesting the Democratic Central Committee, which is a huge thing mostly of people don't know about. It's old guard versus young folks from the Bernies, from Santa Cruz for Bernie. You have somebody who's contesting the judgeship, Ann Ray Angel, who's going to bring a whole new mindset, I think, to being judge in Santa Cruz that we might not have seen before. We have two really good backup just-in-case candidates, but they're only doing it because they have a long time feeling of service to the community. We have an African-American man from Santa Cruz, born and raised here, president of his high school class at Harbor High School, and he went on to be a city council member, and now, after less than a year in office, they're saying, oh, we should, not so good, he's acting out, or he's doing this. No, Drew has been at the forefront of the climate action emergency. He has been at the forefront of getting workers in this town more money. We had a good raise for the lowest paid workers in this city. He's been at the forefront of saying, let's just hold up and take a deep breath on the parking garage. Do we really need any more parking garages? And what's behind that?
Don't forget the H word.
The H word is...
homeless?
Well, I mean, he went to San Jose and was called, asked to testify. And we know that the Camp Ross wasn't the best of situations, but there wasn't other things going on.
Well, my point isn't obviously I agree with you. The question is, it seems to me your advisors and his, and I've seen this in the various agenda analysis sessions he's had when you've been present for some of them, that they advise you all to pull in your horns, keep a low profile, don't offend the community, speak softly. Do you think this has been a good strategy? And if you haven't, the real issue is, is your strategy going to change even if the recall succeeds? In other words, if it succeeds, as an outsider on the council, will you still be active?
Well, Robert, it's going to be interesting. We don't know sometimes what kind of the community that we live in. You know, do we have a lot of folks who bought homes and now are afraid of getting underwater because they paid too much for those homes, and so they have to rent them out, so they fear rent control? Did the rent control people go after the wrong people? Should we have started with the people who own multiple units, like 150 units over at, you know?
Now, these are all interesting questions, but they have nothing to do with the question I asked him, which is, will you continue to do activist work on these issues if you no longer have the glowing title of city councilman in front of your, you know, seat? And he didn't answer that. Maybe he missed the point.
Cypress Point or Schaefer Road, Button Street. There's been some stuff that people, I think, are rethinking. I don't think rent control is going to go away, and I think tenants are actually going to go up in this town. We're at 62% right now and climbing. The university's not helping out. It's part of the why people are out here today, because they can't pay for housing. 70% of their salary goes toward housing. And we should really talk about how much they have left over for food and other basic necessities for, and many graduate students have a family to support as well. So,
will you be active? That was my question. If you are recalled in this movement, or is it, you think this is likely to trim your feathers or excite you to further activity?
If the recall is successful?
Yes.
No, I'm not going away, and people are going to take my place. This whole movement is a movement. And that's what movements are about. It's not about one person. And that's why Bernie's always saying us and not me.
But of course, I was asking about him, not about the movement. I was asking, will he personally be active? It's really an attempt to understand how his initiative as an activist, because that's what I want to see in city council or out of city council. And so he... I don't know. It seems it's a kind of an evasion of personal responsibility, but he may not be trying to be evasive. He may be simply harping on or emphasizing other points that he thinks are important. And a lot of what he says is important. I mean, it's true. But the issue is, you know, what's he going to do if he gets dumped? Is he going to continue to exercise a strong role? And he's saying, oh, somebody else will do it. Oh, it's a movement. It's going on. And, you know, that's hopefully that's true. But of course, on city council, there are going to be reactionaries taking over his position. In this case, it'll be either, I guess, what is it? It's either going to be, I'm not sure who, I always get a little confused about who's running, but it's Don Lane or Catherine Byers or Tim Fitzmaurice or Renee Golder.
And it's us and not me. And so Chris Krohn, Drew Glover, they go away. There's going to be other people just carrying our viewpoints and coming forward.
Except I never heard Fitzmaurice, for example, supporting recall supporting rent control when he was on the city council, or just eviction protection. Not a peep out of him during his 4 years on that issue. Did I just miss something?
How about now? Is he supporting it now?
I haven't heard that. You tell
me.
Why
didn't you ask him?
I'm asking you. You know him.
I would assume that definitely.
You would assume. Have you asked him?
Rent control. Have I said, Tim, do you support rent control? I can't remember. I bet you I've asked him that question, but I don't know.
It's a good question, and you're properly pointing out that I have not asked him that question, and I will.
Okay, so you asked him what's on city council agenda. Yeah. We actually have a resolution, and it'll be interesting how it goes, to support this strike.
Good.
On the consent agenda. We'll see if it makes
it. In any substantial way, or just a rah-rah bric-a-brac, and then move on?
Well, I'm going to discuss getting some recycling bins up here, as well as removing the no parking here on High Street. I don't know if you notice, every time there's a strike up here, they cordon off all the parking spaces by the Messiah Lutheran Church. Mm-hmm. I've asked that not happen, but, you know,
is this going to be something you bring up at city council or something you're doing administratively?
I tried administratively. I will bring it up if we don't deal with it, but yeah, I'll probably bring it up.
I notice, I mean, you've had some courageous votes at council in the last, I don't know, three or four sessions where you were alone in opposing measures. Any comments on those votes?
Well, I think we don't have enough information on tasers. Why does San Francisco outlaw the use of tasers? I didn't see enough information in front of the council to make a solid decision that, yes, we need to buy new tasers. And these things only have a five-year lifespan, which is kind of like, that's not sustainable, it doesn't seem to me. But those are just questions that I had. Other issues, I don't know. There's two other big issues, I think. The small cell wireless, which is a really tough fight against corporations and trying to get our council to move in protecting the health and safety of our residents. And 5G is coming, and we need to know a lot more about it. Beach flats impact fee, council member Glover, myself, and Brown are asking that that we use parking revenue from beach flats that goes back into the community in beach flats and starts paying for improvements and quality of life issues in the beach flats community.
That's not being done currently.
Well, it's being done. That money goes into the general fund, and the general fund, if it sees fit, might, you know, do stuff in beach flats, which, you know, we have over the years. But this will be money that there'll be a committee directly overseeing this, which I'm excited about. And I think it's, you know, the impacts of summer traffic on that neighborhood are unspeakable, really. I mean, just the pollution that goes on, the people just going in circles trying to find a parking space. We also, hopefully, the money might be used as alternatives to parking at the beach, too, and bring in shuttles and stuff and alleviate some of the traffic that leads to great tension down there as well. There is a mid-year budget review on the council, and there is nothing on the evening session.
It's curious.
So
what do you make of it?
I make of it that people are holding their breath for March 3rd election.
I mean, have you asked Mayor Cummings to put anything on the evening agenda that you think is important, and he's declined, or?
No. I think people have a sense that we need to get through March 3rd and see where the chips fall. I think we've taken on some pretty big issues in the last few weeks, including, you know, psilocybin issue, including getting a planning commission that actually is, I believe, a majority in favor of maximum affordable housing and standing up to developers and saying, you know, demanding that they build more affordable housing. That's a huge change that I think we're going to see on the ground. We hired the homeless liaison person. We hired an advocate for the UC.
But you haven't fired Susie O'Hara yet.
Yeah, well, that's not up to me. And that's
I know. Or for that matter, Martine Bernal.
Yeah.
Finally, there are events coming up that, since you're here supporting or opposing the recall, what's coming up that people can go to learn more about it, stand up and support you and Glover and so forth?
The next two weekends, Saturday and Sunday, meet at the Tabby Cat Cafe on Cedar Street. There's two shifts, one at 10, one at noon. There'll be literature, there'll be training sessions. We are collaborating with Santa Cruz for Bernie, so it's coming right down from the top, from Bernie Sanders for president, down to Adam Scow for U.S. representative, to Ann Ray Angel for judge, to No on the Recalls, to Tim Fitzmaurice and Catherine Byers as the replacement, or the what we call just in case candidates. And big thing, Democratic Central Committee. Keep your eyes and ears focused on that. If we can elect these five folks in the 3rd District, it's going to bring us a whole new spirit to the democratic process.
When does that election happen and where?
March 3rd. You can start voting right now if you want a mail ballot, vote by mail, U.S. Post. After February 18th, you can go to the county building and register and vote the same day, which is a new law in California as of 2018.
And the five members, do you have their names or a place where people can go?
I do.
To get that information?
Cindy Dawson, Stacy Falls, Sean Orgel Olson, Clayton Strawn, and Akin, A-K-I-N, and his last name is Babatola. Those five are the progressive candidates.
In case people have not been able to pick that up, where should they go to get that information?
They could go to the county building. They could go to the Tabby Cat Cafe. There's
but online.
They can go online, yes.
Specifically to?
The easiest one is recall, norecall.org, and it'll take you to our website and then We have various websites on there that you can go to.
We've been talking with... Your name, sir, is...
Oh, my name is Chris Crone, and I'm on the Santa Cruz City Council, and I also work at UC Santa Cruz with students on internships.
And you're also supporting this strike.
And I support COLA for All, and I support an increase in the graduate student wage in order to deal with their housing concerns, which is very different here in Santa Cruz than it is at several UC campuses where they get the same amount, like UC Riverside, like UC Merced, but we all know the cost of housing here is through the roof compared to those two cities, for example.
One final question about when you meet before city council meetings, assuming that you are not recalled. Will you be having any meetings with the public before the council? Usually in the past, you've had them on Mondays, you know, at various cafes. Is that still happening, or is that a thing of the past?
Well,
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I have a good intention. Good intentions. I have an intention to do that. Right now, I do have a steering committee made up of 25 people, and we do meet on usually Saturday at 3 p.m. before each city council meeting.
Open to the public or just to the steering committee?
Pretty much open.
And where can people go if they want to attend the next meeting?
They can email me at ckrohn@cruzio.com. cruzio.com.
But you're not announcing where it is.
Right.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, Robert.
Take care.
From music from many different
Pete
people.
Singer.
My mother, who was a violin teacher. My father, who lectured on musicology. But then I met a little curly-headed guy from Oklahoma who hitchhiked from California to New York Island. And as he stood there with his thumb out and the cars going zoo, zoo, he was making up verses, which now everybody knows. He made up verses every day that I knew him. Many of them, most of them, were just thrown away. But now they're being found, scraps of paper being found and sent in by people who sent him verses and letters and so on. And his daughter, Nora Guthrie, is now heads up what they call the Woody Guthrie Archives in New York. And there she found an extraordinary set of verses. No telling what the tune was. I think it might have been a kind of talking blues, you know. At the time Woody wrote this, he was in a mental hospital and told that he would never get out. But he couldn't stop writing verses. The year was 1952, and Eisenhower was preparing to run for election. Eisenhower. I'd just like to tell you right to your face what I think about this frame-up Rosenberg case, the way old Judge Kaufman tried to send him to death. I'm afraid to speak a word, I can't always hold my breath, cause it could learn how to stand back and die holding my breath. But me being a good old green blood American, I'd rather speak my words right out. We ain't quite at war with the USSR. I can't see what we got so many damn secrets for. Every step I take could be called a big secret. Every word I say, when you come right down to it, every thought I think, somebody, someplace, some judge I pay to keep my bench warm might be trying to hide some kind of a secret that he'd kill me for trying to tell you about. I hire several thousand judges in my 48 states to see all of my people get a fair square break. And if I let every judge use my bench to do his killing, won't be very many of us left to do much speaking. I don't believe that I ought to kill you, or that you ought to try to kill me, neither. about no damn kind of a secret. We could pretty easy make up more top and bottom secrets than we got citizens or voters or people like me and you. I'd like rather to kill my secrets than to kill my people. Tell that old jailer man to turn his damn key, turn all of these Rosenberg people out free. All of my Sacco Vanzettis, my Willie McGee's, and everybody living with chains on their legs. I don't want to try to hurry you none, Ikey. Lord knows I couldn't do that if I tried. But my jailhouse and my death row is getting too damn crowded up to please me. People like these Rosenbergs. Folks about like me.
Here, Mr. Eisenhower. Lyrics by Woody Guthrie, performed by Pete Seeger, and posted on Indie Bay, I should say, on YouTube, July 30th, 2012. That's it for this edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. As I said, you can hear the full union resistance meeting we had yesterday with Attorney Anthony Prince and a bunch of other activists just by going online to the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and looking under latest and lost shows. I'll be back on Sunday with more, so check me out at 9:30 or check me out on the internet on the Huff website. You can also call me at 423-4833, and the message on the phone line has been reduced, so you don't have to wait so long.